In the name of the Father and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the Gospel of this blessed Sunday, the third Sunday of Hathor, we read that the Lord was surrounded by a great multitude, and then he turned and looked to them, and he surprised them with the message of how to be disciples. And the first thing that we should be thinking about is, this is very strange for a pastor to react to great multitude coming after him. The crowd did not deceive the Lord and give him a false hint that his ministry is successful with those people. Sometimes we feel proud when the church is full, and any priest or a pastor would feel like I'm successful in my ministry when I see the church full of the people. But this was not the case with the Lord. He did not want quantities of people coming after him. He looked to them and he checked them with a surprising message. Also, the crowd did not tempt the Lord by his ego, like to keep those people on whatever expenses. Sometimes people would feel like, I want to keep the people in the church. I want them to feel happy about themselves and about the church. Then I will try to please them. Sometimes we avoid to tell the people what they do not want to hear. And we do this maybe in the church, in Sunday school, maybe in our homes or houses. I don't want to unplease the people, make them upset. I will just let them hear what they want to hear, not what they should be hearing. The Lord did not do that. He did not define his success based on the number of people, but more on the quality of the people who are following him. Also, he did not try to communicate a political message to the people. He can say many things, which is nice, fine, and they can accept it, and still it's okay. And he did this many times. He talked to them, to the people many times about him being accepting anybody who would come to him. He will never turn anybody away. But in special circumstances, it was time for him to make the people feel and face the reality. His message to the people had certain characteristics. The first thing, he respected their boundaries. What is the meaning of that? He started his wording to them saying, if anyone wants to come after me, I am not forcing anyone to come. It's your choice. But if you want to make it right. If anyone wants to come. There is no way we can follow the Lord because that we are forced to do this. You can push your kid to come to the church maybe many years while he's still in his age where he obeys. But unless he would feel inside his heart that I want to come, he will never be able to do it all the way. The Lord respected the freedom of the people to choose. It is totally up to them to choose to go after him or not. His message also was very honest. He did not try to make it easier for them, because it is not. He did not try to deceive them, telling them about things that it will never happen, saying that everything will be rosy. It is not the case. If you want to come after me, it's a narrow gate and a difficult road, and you have to be prepared for that. Then we come to the second point. What was the message? The message was for them, the crowd, and for all of us, is if you want to be a disciple, you have to consider the following points. First of all, if you cannot hate your father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, you cannot be a disciple. Of course, we all understand that The Lord did not mean hatred with the meaning that they hate, or like I hate my father and mother with the meaning that we all know about. But he wanted them to know that unless he would come first before anybody else, they cannot make disciple to him. And of course, this is a very difficult thing. If I ask myself now, is the Lord comes first in my life, what I'm going to answer? Don't rush and make an easy answer. Yes, the Lord comes first. I will give you some points that you can like examine yourself against. A very easy thing is like considering the day of the Lord. If the Lord comes first before everything and before everybody, then I wouldn't hesitate at any Sunday, whenever, of course, I do not have some extreme obligation, that I would rise up and come to the church. But if I would feel like I will come to the church whenever I have time, whenever I don't have anything else to do, then I cannot say that the Lord comes first. I will give you another example about the fasting that we are now currently fasting. I'm sorry to say this, but maybe it's hard. Let's think about it. The Thanksgiving starts the same day of the start of the fast. How many of us choose to postpone the fast in order to enjoy eating the turkey? If I would say that I really put the Lord before anybody else, of course I wouldn't feel hesitant to choose him and to choose his way before anything else. If I cannot put him before a meal, how can I put him before the greatest love that is in the heart of all of us towards their parents, for example? How many of us would feel pity towards their children, preventing them from fasting because we feel like if they will fast, if they will keep the fast, then their health might be endangered? If I would do this, how can I say that I put the Lord before the love to my wife and my children? Daniel was one of those people who put the Lord before anybody else. He was in the land of captivity. He was obliged to eat what the king was offering to those youth, and he chose to put the Lord first, to eat only from the vegetables and not to defile himself with the deliciousness of the king. This is a very good example of how people, when they choose to put the Lord first, should behave. The second point is that you deny yourself. Again, an easy message: you deny yourself. But how? If I still feel like I like people to praise me, I search after credit from others, I search after approval from others on whatever I'm doing. If I want any service to be like I do it, to be known, I am the person who is doing this and this and this, how can I say that I deny myself? If I still feel like whatever comes to my mind in terms of how I think about myself and others and about the way to eternity, I do not need anybody to check on that. I don't need even a father of confession. I know everything. How then I can say that I am denying myself? It's a very hard thing when we try to live it sincerely. It's very easy to say it. I'm a poor person. I'm not worthy. All of this stuff which is meaningless. And it is very, very hard whenever it comes to action and living. A lot of people stumble in the church because when they did something, they were not credited the way they were expecting. And in spite of all of these things, thoughts about I'm a poor person, they may sometimes do not come to the church at all because they were not praised as they were expected from the people. The third point is that you carry a cross. And to carry a cross, this means something. We cannot carry the cross for a while and leave it for a while. Like when the people think that I can go after the Lord carrying the cross in some instances and just leaving aside on other instances. Carrying the cross is a decision for every single day and every single moment. I will give you an example of a cross that we all should be carrying. The cross of living according to the Spirit and fighting against the lusts of the flesh. How many times per day our eyes, our sights fall on things that we should not be seeing? How many times we choose to carry the cross and turn our sights away? It's a decision. We make many, many decisions every day like this. When it's time for prayers, it's a time to carry a cross, to crucify my body and make it to stand and talk to the Creator. How many times we choose to put the cross aside and we ignore the calling to pray to God? If I would say that I want to be a disciple, then carrying the cross is something that I should be watching. I do this every single day. Remember this one cross, living according to the Spirit, and examine yourself against this. The fourth thing is, the Lord told the people, if you want to be a disciple, this is like someone building a tower. What is the meaning of that? If you are building something, this something will not have a value unless it's completed. Like if you are building a house, if you keep on building like 10 years and you are not able to finish the house and then you dwell in it, then this building has no value whatsoever. And the people will look at it and will never call it as a house unless you are able to finish it and then you dwell in it. It's the same regarding your spiritual life. If you keep on building for days and months and years, but you will never be able to complete it to the end, then all of your work will be in vain. No one would appreciate a house who is not incomplete, who is not completed. It's the same. What is the meaning of the message? If you start to go after me, you have to be committed and determined that you start, you continue, and you finish. This is something that is the most difficult. Many people started, many people went in the road after the Lord, maybe for many, many years, but very few people were able to continue and finish. The Lord is saying to the people, if you are not committed enough, save the hassle. Just go back until you decide. But don't come after me hesitant, going for a while and then regretting for a while. The fifth point is that you will be like a builder in the fourth point. You will be like a warrior in the fifth point. You will be in a war. Your spiritual life here is not a luxury or a fancy life that you will lead. It is not like that. Many of the evil spirits will be tempting you, will be against you. Many of the people even who work with Satan will be also against you. And unless you will keep the struggle and go into this war with a determined heart, you will not be able to conquer. It is not something easy that you choose to be a disciple, because the moment you choose this, be sure that many wars will come against you. In the book of Yeshua ibn Sirach, he says that, my son, if you put in your heart to start a service, be ready for temptations. يا بني إن تقدمت للخدمة فأعدد نفسك للتجارب. If you go and say in your heart that I like to be a disciple, to go after him, be ready for a war against you. Unless you have the heart of a warrior that put his trust in the leader of the army, you will never be able to make it. The sixth point is that you forsake all what you have. Don't put your heart on your money, your position, your family, anything that you might feel secured with. You have to forsake everything and don't put your heart on it. And the seventh and last point is that you will be working as a salt. And what salt is doing? Salt makes the food has a taste. And the salt by itself, if it doesn't work, it is the cheapest among all the materials. If you go to Walmart and try to buy a salt, it's very cheap stuff. But it has a great value whenever it is in the food. By itself, it has no value. And the meaning is, being Christians says that whenever we work, we function as Christians, then this is our values. Whenever we choose to lead a selfish life, we live for ourselves, we have no value at all, like a salt. Remember this, you will be working and living as a salt. When you work, you have your value. When you do not, then you have no value. So this message that was communicated by the Lord to the crowds was one of the surprising messages, like love your enemies, and like I came to lay fire on earth, all of these things that it was never mentioned by a prophet or a leader before. Everyone tries to make his people like feel good about themselves, but this is not the case with the Lord. We have to face reality. We have to choose to go after him with a determined and committed heart. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.